And if you will, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read this passage last week. And so, for sake of time, rather than reading all of it this week, I will come back and read all of it later in the lesson and comment on it. But I just want to look at some specific verses in our text. The text is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 27. And as I read these specific representative verses from the passage, I want to see if you can figure out what the Apostle Paul is driving at in this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And then look at 1 Corinthians, well, I meant to get verse 27. Verse 27, now you're the body of Christ and members individually. I wonder what the Apostle Paul is driving at in that passage. Well, I think you've already figured it out. About a year ago, I decided, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I wanted to try to have a way to meet more people in Baxter County and in Mountain Home, because most everybody I knew were members of this congregation, and I needed to get to know more people, particularly so that we might be able to reach people who are not Christians in Baxter County and in Mountain Home. So I decided to join a civic club, and I got to looking around, and I decided, well, I'm going to go take a look at the Lions Club. They look like a pretty good thing. And so I showed up at a Lions Club meeting one Wednesday morning, and I found out that I had to have a sponsor, and a guy that I'd never met said, I'll be your sponsor. And so I joined the Lions Club. And all my purpose was to get to know people around here. That's the only reason I joined the Lions Club. But what I found out after I joined the Lions Club and paid my money and paid my dues and all that stuff is they expect you to do things. It's a service club, duh. And what they expect you to do is to get busy and to serve, to do some things. And the things they do are nice things. Now, I'm not here to try to get anybody to join the Lions Club. That's not my point. But my point is that, you know, sometimes I'd like to be a member of this group. And then after you have become a member, after you've looked at it, well, they expect things out of you. You can't just show up every once in a while and then be happy. They want you to do some things because you're a member of that group. That's the way it is in being a Christian. You want to be a member of the local church? Great. We're glad for that. But guess what? The Lord expects some things out of you. Now, see, this is not like the Lions Club. I really don't know very much about that local president of the Lions Club, and I don't care. I know a few people there that seem to be nice people. I like them, but they're not going to judge me on the last great day. And I don't have to depend on them for anything that has to do with my soul salvation. So I'll put in a little bit of service to the Lions Club, as long as it's things that I agree with. And I'll get to know some folks, and that's fine. I'm perfectly happy with that. I don't feel any necessity to do what some of them do. And I don't begrudge them. There's some of them get so involved in the Lions Club, it just becomes their lives. In fact, I've been in another organization. I was a scoutmaster. And I dropped out of that when my boys and I both decided that we're just wasting our time. We're just eating up all of our time, and we could be doing things we like better than this. And they never were satisfied with the amount of time that you spent doing things with the Boy Scouts. And you could do the same thing with any civic club. Now, you can do the same thing with the Lord's Church. But there is this difference. What you're doing when you're a part of the local church, the local congregation, you're doing those things that God expects you to do in order to be saved and to go to heaven. And that makes a big, big difference to me, and I hope it makes a big, big difference to you. So we want to talk about, all right, you are a member, or maybe you're thinking about being a member, of the Highway 5 South Church of Christ, Mountain Home, Arkansas. What's expected of you? Now let's go back to our text. And now this is where we see the principles that are involved. Then we're going to make some application. I'm going to hit this as quickly as I can, but I want to go through and make comments. First of all, if you're a member of a local congregation, every member of the local congregation, every member of that local body has his own or his or her own function to perform, and God expects you to do what you have the ability and the opportunity to do. Now begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For in fact, where you will read body, put church. For in fact, the church is not one member, but many. Most people, when they think about a church, if it's a denomination, they think about the pastor. If it's a local church of Christ, they think about the preacher. And think everything revolves around the preacher. Everything revolves around the pastor. That's not the case. There's many members of this local body. And every member has a function that you are needed to do. And I believe this is the first thing in verses 14 through 19 that Paul is driving at. If you think that you're not needed, there's nothing you can do that's important to this body, you're wrong. Every member of this body is needed to do what you have the ability and the opportunity to do. Verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? You see, he's comparing the local church to the human body. And the human body has lots of members. You have hands and feet and head and eyes and all those different parts of your body. And every part of your body has a function. And all right, so let's just say that your foot could talk. And if your foot could talk and it was feeling sorry for itself. And so, I just can't grasp anything with my toes. Why, the hand is so useful. The hand can grab a hold of a hammer and drive a nail or get a paintbrush and paint the place. And the hand can just do all kinds. I can't do any of those things. I'm just useless. I'm not even a part of the body because I can't do what the hand can do. Well, you would go through life without your feet. That'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? No, the feet can't do what the hand can do, but the foot's needed to do what it can do. All right, let's read on. And if the ear should say, because I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Suppose your ear could talk. And your ear was, I never saw the beauties of the sunset. I never saw the beauties of the Ozark Hills as you drive. I never saw those things that the eye sees. I guess I'm just useless. I'm not a part of the body because I can't see. Well, you want to go through life without your ears? You'd look kind of funny. I don't want to hang my glasses on if I didn't have any ears. But more important than that, how would you hear? It's important to hear, isn't it? No, the ear can't do what the eye can do, but the ears need to do what the ear can do. If the ear should, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Now, that's something to think about. What if your whole body were one great big old eyeball? Well, you could see all the way to Springfield, but what else could you do? That's all you could do, just see. You could do anything. It would be funny looking, too, just big old eyeball sitting up there. Couldn't do a thing except see. Now, you need more than just an eyeball. If the whole body were an eye, where would be there? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? What if you just one big old ear? You could hear a mouse squeaking, flipping. But what could you do other than that? All you could do is hear. You couldn't do anything else. Every part of the body needs to do what that part of the body can do. But God has set the members, each one of the body, just as He pleased. Now that's an important passage. Whatever ability you have, God gave you those abilities. And instead of griping or complaining or feeling sorry for yourself, because you can't do what somebody else, maybe you can't lead singing the way Brother Lynn can. Maybe you can't do some things that other people are going to do, but what can you do? Find out what you can do that's useful to the local body and do that. Because God gave you that ability. And instead of complaining about what you can't do, get busy and do what you can do. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? If everybody's a preacher, who are we going to preach to? If everybody's a song leader, who are we going to lead? We need everybody to do what each person has the ability to do. Then, don't those of you who have more ability maybe than some others, don't look down on those other people and say, well, I don't need them because they're just no good. They don't accomplish anything. They're not necessary. They're not needed. No, you can't look down on others either. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. You see what he's driving at? Many members, one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need. What if your eye could talk and say, well, you hands, you can't see where you're going. I have to show you where you're going. You're not in it. You're no good. Well, I don't even need you hands anymore. And the hands of that talk, well, just see what happens next time something's about to hit you in the eye and see if I come to your defense. Yeah. No, you know the hand can't see, but the hand needs to do what? If the head could say to the feet, I have no need of you. What if your head talked to your feet and said, you dummies, you never had a thought in your life. I have to tell you everywhere to go. You can't think for yourselves. And your feet could talk right back, say, all right, big smarty, see if you can get anywhere without us. No, the feet can't do what the head can do, but the feet are needed to do what the feet can do. Every part's needed. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Is there any part of your body that's physically weaker, more easily injured than the eyeball? Nothing in your body is more easily injured than the eyes. And what do you do about that? Do you just take care of yourselves, eyeballs? You're weak. It's just tough. What happens? Now, you do this without ever even thinking about it. If something comes at your face, what do you do about it? Do you close, you open your eyes and close your mouth? No. You close your eyes and open your mouth. That's what you do, isn't it? And do you put your hand over your mouth? No, you put your hand over your eyes. Because that's a weak part of your body and you just automatically protect it. There's weak members of this body. And rather than just saying we don't need them, we ought to be looking out for them, trying to protect them, trying to help them, trying to lift them up. Every member of the body is needed. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. All right, now I'm going to make a comment here. Your feet are ugly. Don't worry, mine are too. Now, there's an exception. Lucy Joe has pretty feet. Okay. Babies have pretty feet. But the rest of us, we've got old bony feet. The only people that like the looks of feet are a podiatrist because he makes money off of it. The feet are just bony. They're ugly. What do you do about it? Well, you cover them up. That's what I do with my feet. Isn't that what you do with your feet? And it's not just to protect them. It's because they don't look very good. And in the summertime, you women wear open-toed shoes and what you paint your toenails. You do everything you can to take that unpresentable part of your body and make it more presentable. And that's the way we take those members of the body, which they could be a headache, but we do what we can to help them to be what they ought to be so they're ready to appear before the Lord. And by the way, that's good for us. It makes us more spiritual and it helps us to be stronger and helping those who are weaker to be stronger also. Having given, but God composed the body. God put this body together. Having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Those are the weaker. Those are the ones we give the most attention to. And every member of the body, instead of saying, you know, we just need to get rid of them. They pull us down. They're just no count. Now there's an exception. Some parts of my body have become diseased as I got older. And the surgeon had to go in and take them out to keep them from causing disease for the rest of the body. And that's happened. Now, that doesn't mean those parts of the body were not needed. They were, but they became diseased and they were a threat to the rest of the body. And if there's sin in the life of a member of the congregation, which that member will not repent of, then that spiritual disease, and to keep the rest of the body from being diseased, that member has to be taken out. And that has to be, now we don't like to do that. That's a terrible thing to have to do. But that's necessary in order to keep the whole body healthy. But generally, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 through 27. That there should be no schism in the body. Now that word schism is a very interesting word. And Paul picked the exact word that he wanted to use. It means a rent or a tear. When Jesus told about the new wine being put into old wineskins, and they would tear. That's that word schism, rent, a tear. Do you ever have just a tear in your skin? It just torn open? That's exceedingly painful, isn't it? Just have your skin torn open. And that's what Paul is talking about here. We don't want any schism, any tear, any rent in this local body. That's a painful thing to happen. And so there should not be any schism. There shouldn't be any members of the body mad at other members of the body, refusing to talk to other members of the body, or saying bad things about other members of the body behind their back. And if we think they've wronged us, or if we think they have sinned lives, we need to go and talk to that person in a loving and a kind way, trying to lead that person to repent of their sins, rather than talking about them or talking behind their backs or just being mad at them. Be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care, everybody care for everybody else. And by the way, if everybody's going to care for everybody else, you know, the first thing we have to do is get to know each other. If we don't know each other, how can we care for each other? So there should be the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Fellas, how many of you have ever been driving a nail? You're holding it like driving a nail, and you miss the nail, and you hit your thumbnail. Oh, what do you do about that? You say, ha ha, you dummy, you had it coming to you. I'm glad you got it. Is that what you do? Now, I tell you what I'd do. and try my best not to say something I shouldn't say, right? If that little old thumbnail is a small member of the body, but when it hurts, you hurt right down to your toes, don't you? You hurt all over. And that's the way it must be in this local body. Do you know about the members of this local body that are going through hard times and suffering? Well, then you need to be suffering with them. You need to care about that. We need to do something for them, do what we can to let them know we care. We want to do what we can to lift you out of that suffering. One member suffered, all the members suffered. One member's honored. Well, wish they hadn't got that. I think I deserve that more. Is that the way we would? Now, I asked Brother Joe a week and a half ago. So if Jody... Would he rather that Jody, his daughter, and she's the coach of the girls' basketball team at Jonesboro High School, had he rather her win the state championship or when he was a coach, him win the state championship? And I knew what Joe would say. I'd rather Jody. Of course he would. Because he loves his daughter, and he'd rather have her have the honors than for him to have the honors. And you parents, if your children receive an honor, it honors you, doesn't it? You just feel better for them getting it than for you to get it, of course. And that's the way we ought to be toward, that's the love we ought to have for one another in the local church. If one member's honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. Now there's the principle. Now let's make the applications. There are six specific responsibilities that each of us has to this local body. I can't fulfill it for you. You can't fulfill it for me. Each member of the body is needed. First thing, it's so simple. You need to be assembling with the saints when the saints assemble. Because we encourage. The reason we do this, you know, I could sing songs of praise to God at home. I can pray to God at home. I can study my Bible at home. Now, there's two things I can't do at home. I can't take the Lord's Supper and I can't give of my means at home. But three of the five acts of worship I can do in my home. Why do I come here? Because we need each other. That's why I come here, and that's why you come. We need each other. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another. That's the reason you ought to be here. Because we're paying attention to each other. We're in consideration of each other. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. When you leave here today, you ought to be more determined to do what's right and to love one another. If you're not that way, then I have failed in my work as a preacher today, or you failed as a listener, one or the other. Because we come here to stir each other up, to love you. How do we do that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a matter of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So you come here, and we set aside time Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Bible class, 11 o'clock for worship assembly, 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon for worship assembly. By the way, Brother Trevor will be preaching to us this afternoon. Be here to hear Brother Trevor. Wednesday night, we have the worship and classes at 7 o'clock. Ladies come together to study the Bible on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Men get together now at 6:30 on Thursday evening to practice things that we want to learn to do as men in the public worship assembly. All of those times are times when you can be we can be encouraging each other, helping each other to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be more like our Lord, and to be doing love and good works. So be here when the church comes together, because we need you and you need it. We need to give of our means. As the Lord's given us opportunity and ability, as we have the opportunity and the ability to give, we need to be giving of our means so that the church can do the work that the Lord has given it to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. By the way, I don't believe what he's talking about there is if you just give a little, you'll only make a little. If you give a whole bunch, you'll make a whole bunch. Now, I know that's the application some carnally minded people make of that, but I believe the point is the more you give, the more spiritual gifts, spiritual benefits you receive from that giving. So if you're real stingy in your giving, you know, you think about a farmer. He's afraid to plant enough seed to get up a good crop. Well, if you don't plant many seeds, you're going to get much of a crop. You're going to have to plant enough seed to get the good crop in order to have that good crop. And the same thing is true of our giving. From the standpoint of the spiritual benefits that we receive from the giving. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully, that means for gift, literally, but it has a liberal, generous giving, will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I saw a sign. This was in Mena, Arkansas, years ago. Little sandwich place we used to go and eat. And the sign on the wall said, God loves a cheerful giver, but you take money from an old grouch. No, he won't. He won't either. He won't do any such thing. Now, the church will, because we don't know whether an old grouch are cheerful or not. But if you're just giving, and I know I got to give, but I sure hate, oh, I hate to part. Oh, man, I hate to part. It's just, it's like, then you might as well not give. You're just wasting your money. You won't do you a bit of good spiritually. He will not accept money from an old grouch. You have to give cheerfully. Okay, the third obligation we have is to fully support everything this church does. We have an obligation because we're a part of this church. First James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now if it applies to you, you have the ability and the opportunity, then be a part of that. And by the way, I put in the bulletin last week. I failed to put it in this week. I just had too much stuff to put in. But I'll try to get it in next week. We have a gospel meeting, April the 7th through the 9th. And Brother Paul White from Cedar Park, Texas will be here. Be here and hear him. And invite somebody to come with you. And so they can hear the gospel preached. That's one of the reasons we have a gospel meeting. Put that on your calendar. Don't be gone on vacation or say I've got other things. April 7th, it's Friday through Sunday. It's Friday night at 7 o'clock, Saturday at 10 and 2, and our usual times on Sunday. Brother Paul White will be here from Cedar Park, Texas. You be here and be a part and fully support that gospel meeting. Then you need to do what you can do to help in the work of this church. There's things the congregation does that you need to know about, and you need to do what you can to assist in those things. We've already last week went through Romans 12, 4 through 8, so I'll just briefly put this before us. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, each of us has different gifts. Now, in this context, the gifts includes both miraculous spiritual gifts and natural abilities. In application to us, it's only natural abilities. None of us have those miraculous spiritual gifts. They ceased at the end of the first century. But the first thing he lists is a miraculous spiritual gift. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Well, prophecy was a miraculous spiritual gift. That ceased. No prophets on the earth today. But the rest of these things are natural abilities that we each have to a certain extent. And whatever the abilities you have, use them for the benefit of the local church. He says, our ministry, let us use it in our ministry. Ministry just means serving. Do you have the ability to serve somebody? Then get busy and serve. It may be that you're one of those that takes food by to some of those people who are in need of help at this time. Or it may be that you just call on somebody that's sick or somebody that needs encouragement. Go by and see Sister Lorene in the hospital. There's lots of things that you can do to encourage. Go by and see Sister Lucille, who's shut in. There's lots of things you can do to encourage those. To get in touch with Sister Irene Bowling. You know, we haven't seen Sister Irene Bowling in a long time. And she was here every time she could be here when she was able to. And she's 92 years old now. She's not able to get out. And she's living with her daughter up close to Springfield. But she's a very sweet and fine lady. Get in touch, Sister Bowling. Send her a card. Just let her know that she's missed. Earl and Ruth Pierce, they can't be here because of their health. Earl's 91 now, and Ruth is not spring chicken. Don't tell her I said that. But at any rate, get in touch with them. Let them encourage them. Do what you can to just encourage them. They just love to have company. There's lots of things. Now, say, do you have to be a singer like Brother Lynn? Now, Brother Lynn, go by and sing to them. You don't have to do that. Just get in touch with them. Let them know they're missed. Encourage them. There's so many things that you can do. He who teaches in teaching. You have ability to teach? Well, you know what? We need some more particular children's Bible class teachers. The women that do that are kind of stretched thin. He who exhorts in exhortation. You have the ability to tell somebody, you know, you could do a little bit better than this. You need to come on and do better. That's what exhorting is. Then do that. You don't have to do it in this pulpit. You can do it one-on-one to somebody. Or he who gives with liberality. Everybody has something you can give. Do it generously. He who leads with diligence. That's the elders of the church. We must be diligent in our leadership. He who shows mercy. Now, showing mercy is helping those who are helpless. And we ought to do it not by, I need to go by and see so-and-so, I reckon. No, do it cheerfully. So we need to do everything that we can to help out all that we can, do the work in the local church. And then we need to love each other. And to love each other, we need to first of all to know each other. And getting to know each other, then we need to be concerned about the needs that every member of the body has and do what we can to help out in those needs. And that's how we show love to each other. Let love be without hypocrisy. Don't talk about how you love the brethren, then do nothing about it or talk bad behind their backs. That's being a hypocrite. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor. Well, you don't have to be fond of the sin that some member may have. Now, you should abhor what is evil, but cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate. Now, there are people out in the world. We have to show the love toward them of doing what is best for them, but it's kind of hard to be kindly affectionate to some folks out in the world, isn't it? You know, some folks out in the world are old, mean, low down, and crooked, and hard to get along with, and we still have to love them. Do what we can to help them. But to the brethren, we must be kindly affectionate with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Once again, when it comes to who gets the honor, I ought to prefer my brother to get the honor rather than me. And then finally, we need to pray for one another. You need to know, and that's one reason that we put in the back of the bulletin the list of those who need our prayers. And you need to be, I need to be praying for them. And you need to be praying for them. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that's it. There's nothing complicated about it. That's every obligation I know of that each of us has to the local church. Now let's just wrap this up as far as our obligations to the local church. What will it take for this local church to be a successful? I mean, a great. Do you know that we're a small congregation? That's irrelevant. We can be a great congregation of God's people, small or large. Doesn't make any difference. We can be a great congregation of God's people. How? Well, we need to have a great preacher. You're sure not one. Well, I'm sorry, you got what you got. But that's, and I'm grateful. That's not what it takes. Now, you do need to have somebody preaches the truth. Okay, and preaches it plainly and makes application where it needs to be applied. Now, that's what you need, and I'll do my best to do that, okay? I know I'm not an orator, and I really, to tell you the truth, don't make any attempt to be. I just try to plainly preach the truth and apply it where it needs to be applied. All right. And so, but you don't have to have a great preacher. Aren't you glad to hear that? In order to be a great congregation. You don't have to have great elders. Now, you need to have scripture leadership. Okay, and Brother Joe and I need to be doing that. Well, what does it take? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For in fact, the body's not one member, but many. Now, let me ask you something. What does it take for your body to be healthy? Oh, you know, you need to have some really strong arms. Well, okay, fine. I guess I don't qualify, but no. What it takes every part of your body healthy and functioning the way it should function. That's what, by definition, that's what a healthy body is. Every member, every part of the body healthy and doing what God designed it to do. What does this local church need to be a great church? Every one. That's you, brother and sister, and that's me. Every member of the church. Find out what I have the ability and the opportunity to do and get busy and do it. Do it to the best of my ability and look for opportunities to do more. But don't get your feelings hurt if somebody else gets called on to do something, because everybody just do what we have the ability and the opportunity to do. And if we'll do that, and by the way, that includes letting our friends and neighbors know that we'd like for them to study their Bibles, and if they're not Christians, to become Christians. And you don't even have to be the one that teaches them. If you'll just get the Bible study started, now you try me on this. If you'll get somebody to agree to have a Bible study with you, give me a call, and we'll work out a time. Okay? And everybody do what you can do. Every member doing his part. Now, the question is, are you doing your share? Am I doing my share? As the apostle says in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, it's not like the Lions Club. You're not just doing civic duty. You're serving the Lord. And that is the way we go to heaven, is by serving the Lord. Our song of invitation and encouragement is number 276. There may be somebody in the audience that needs to make your life right for the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You're willing to repent of your sins, confess with your mouth your faith in Christ Jesus, to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins? If so, then we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing. Whoa.